seed of life, found out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 34 through 38. And I want you to take notice of something up here that maybe not a lot of people would take notice of. But do you know what that seed is a picture of? It's a picture of a heart. It's a picture of a heart. Life begins in the heart, in what you do with Jesus as Lord and Savior. Life begins in the heart. The roots develop there and spring out life for you and me. It's about the seed of life, and it begins in the heart. Will you pray with me? Our Father and our God, Lord, as we come today, Father, I pray that you would remove me. You would hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Father, that you give me the words that you've desired me to say to this congregation, body of believers, and Samantha's family here this morning. You give me the words to say to the Lord that you desired me to say that will have an impact upon our lives here today. As Samantha's life has impacted our life, as Kennedy's life, and Ms. D. Frail's life, and other lives that have gone on before us, my own family, Lord, how their lives have had profound impact in my life. Lord, I pray that I can deliver your word today. The Lord, that will have an impact on everybody here. Lord, that I could deliver it in a way that you gave it to me, the Lord. And Father, sometimes if we just slow up and take time and listen to others, as I listen to Debbie and Brittany and Brother Don this week in the office, and just look at different devotions that are sent our ways and contacting with people, the Lord, how there's a message that we can get out of life in every conversation we have if we allow your spirit to speak to us. Lord, I pray today that you defeat the devil. I pray you bind Satan, his demons and workers, and cast him outside of here. Father, just pour out your spirit in here as you've already done. Let it continue to be an amazing spirit. Fill this place so thick with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God this morning. May your word cut where it needs to cut. May it prick where it needs to prick. May it pierce where it needs to pierce. May we be changed people when we leave here today. Changed for your honor and glory. Help us to deliver your message. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34 through 38 says this. It says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened. It's not made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare the grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." When I thought about this week, I thought about the seed of life. I thought about the circle of life, the seed of life, and how that life is involved, and how life began, and how life ends, and what we face and what we go through in life today. The troubles, the trials, the tribulations, the things that come about, the death and things of that nature, and how it has a profound impact upon our life if we allow it to. If we will allow it to, if we allow it and give it to the Lord and let it be used for his honor and glory, it will have a profound impact on your life and my life that would change for all eternity. Those seeds, those corns, those things, those grains in life. And I thought about if the seed refuses to die, the quickening power refuses to act. The seed has to die before the power and the quickening power reacts to bring that life. I thought about the quickening can only work the newness of life where there is death. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 31, "I protested by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord." He says what? I what? I die daily. Paul was saying crucified daily. Not that I live, that Christ should live within me. I die daily, he said. In Galatians 2:20, it says this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's saying, I die daily. I give my, this life that I now live is not my life. Paul says, I give it to the Lord as a testimony to him. I am crucified daily, not that I live, that Christ should live within me. And it's learning to die to this world. It's learning to give your life up as far as this world is concerned and give it to the Lord and live for him and express that life and share that life and give it to the Lord. And I was there with Samantha and them in the hospital, and that's exactly what I seen. There was a loved one that they could have said, no, we don't want nobody around, but no, they gave that seed, they gave that life back that it might have an impact on somebody else's life. That's what we need to do as children of God. We need to give our life up. We need to be willing to let the Lord take our life and say, Lord, I'm crucified daily with you, not that I should live, that Christ should live within me. I give my life to you, the Lord. I bring it under total submission to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I bring my body under submission to you. I give my life to you. Take my life, Lord. Use it for your honor and glory. As a child of God, we should be willing to give our life to the Lord. We should be willing to sacrifice to him. He tells us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and perfect will of God in your life. Giving your life to him, letting God use our life, and being that sacrifice that God wants us to be for his honor and glory. Sowing seeds. If there's going to be a harvest, this seed has to rot, decay, and die. Understanding heart, that seed has to have. The seed must have full liberty in the heart. This seed germinates. In that first slide of the heart, Mark, you can put it back up. Where the heart is, it takes it in that heart. In the heart is where life begins. In the heart is where it takes roots. You didn't can it already, did you? In there is where, amen. In the heart is where it takes root. Save them, keep them. Oh, it's not about their waving. It's saying save them and keep them, because in the heart is where life begins. That's where the roots take place. That's where it generates. As a child of God, as a child of God here, life begins in the heart. For anybody, life begins in the heart when you make Jesus Lord of your life, Savior of your life. He takes root of your life, and life begins in the heart, and it begins to produce that fruit as a child of God. The same thing happens in your life and my life. When we let Jesus take root and get a hold of our heart, and he begins to be solid and rooted in God's word and rooted in prayer, and the roots begin to be deep. And then as a child of God, as we begin to mature and those roots take hold in our life, it produces fruits in other lives. It produces that, and that's where life begins, is in the heart. And we think about that. Just before he was crucified, Jesus was in John 12 and 20 through 24. It says this. It said, and there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at his feet. And the same came there to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip telleth Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man shall be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a what? Except what? A corn of wheat. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. What does it say? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And we're going to see some things here this morning with the corn stalks that I brought in. We're going to see, as I talked to Don and Debbie and Brittany Monday morning, and we were talking about the seed of life. That verse of scripture came because we were exactly talking about seed of life and talking about corn and talking about except that corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, and abideth alone, it cannot bring forth fruit. But if it die, how much more fruit it produces. I can see the disciples saying, Sir, There are some men out here that would like to meet you. And they said, except a corn of wheat, Jesus replies it, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I can look at the disciples. We did not come here for an agricultural lesson. They come to see there's a man that needs Jesus. Jesus was saying, for the last 3 years, all I've been doing is showing you the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. If you want to see Jesus, then plant me in the ground. And after 3 days, I will rise up. And my sons and my daughters will show you Jesus from one end of the earth to the other end. Jesus said, if you want to see me, you've got to plant me in the ground. If you plant me, he said, in 3 days I arise. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 1 through 4, he said this, moreover, brethren, he said, I deliver unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you have saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. He said, for I have delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scripture. He was saying, unless you plant me, unless you bury me, and I rise in 3 days, you won't know what I'm talking about. But Jesus is saying here, this body, this earthly tabernacle will be destroyed. But he said, I'm going to take this body and I'm going to rise again. And I can tell you something, based on the word of God, because Jesus rose, you and I as Christians will rise again. We will rise one day. We will rise one day, my friends, if we trust in the Lord. In Matthew 9 and 37 and 38, it says this, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that ye would send forth laborers into his harvest. When I thought about the seed of life, I thought about the corn, and I went to Mike Revels' property, and I asked Mike, I said, Mike, can you pick me some corn? Can you pick me some of the corn that you have out there? And Mike's corn that he's growing right now is grain corn. It's for cattle. He raises it, and they harvest it, and it goes to bag up corn and stuff like that for the cattle and whatever they do it with. But I thought about the interesting thing in this picture. This particular corn, and I want you to understand something. God knows what he's doing when it comes to a message. Amen. God knows what he's doing when it comes to a message. This particular corn does not grow on the stalk until it turns brown and is ready to die. Look at here. Beautiful piece of green corn. Green stalk. I mean healthy, beautiful, and everything else. You won't see an ear corn on it with this particular corn. This is grain corn. You won't see an ear corn on here. I got 4 or 5 of these. Beautiful stalks of corn. Look like it should have corn all over them, don't it? Look like there should be corn everywhere. Normally, if you're growing corn and it's this green, you're going to have some shoots of corn somewhere. But God knew this message I was delivering. God knew this message he had laid upon my heart. God knew the corn that I needed to bring this message. And this particular grain corn does not grow on the stalk until the tips of it starts to turn brown. So here we go. There's all this beautiful corn right here. But there's no corn that starts to grow on this beautiful green stalk until the tip starts to die and turn brown. No corn grows on this grain stalk until the tips of this corn turn brown. No corn grows on this particular grain of stalk until the tips of it turn brown. Once the corn starts growing brown, what happens? New life begins to take place. New life begins to take place. In this particular corn stalk that is used for grain, until the tip of it starts to turn brown, new life don't begin until off it starts to turn brown and starts to die. Once this stalk becomes dead and looks dead and stuff like that, then you begin to put on the ears of corn begin to put on it. The ears of corn begin to show up on this stalk that looks like it's got problems and issues. Looks like it needs to be planted and a lot of fertilizer growing. Yeah, country boys carry pocket knives. And until that grain of corn that's on there, until that stalk turns brown, there is no corn. But my friends, listen to me. It took the sacrifice. It took the sacrifice. It took the sacrifice of a piece of corn. It took a piece of corn. Sacrifice of a corn. It took a piece of corn. Samantha's life. It took the sacrifice of a piece of corn. A corn to be planted in that ground. That corn, as you see it, it's dead. This corn, as you see it, it doesn't have no life. This corn is a dried up seed. It has no life in it. This seed has to be willing to be submitted in the heart. And if you hold it up to the light, you can see the inside of the seed has a heart. If you hold it up to this particular light, this particular grain of corn, if you hold it up to the light, family, you can see the heart inside there. Can you see it? And until this seed's heart decides it wants to die and take root in the ground, no life will come up. No life will come up. You take this seed and hold it up to the light. Take it and hold it up to the light. Hold the seed up to the light. Hold the seed up to the light. And look at this seed. Hold it up to the light. Now I got a whole bag for it for everybody. Hold it up to the light. And look at it through the light. If you get one that's thin enough, you will see the heart in the center of the seed. And life begins in the heart. Life begins in the heart. You take this stalk that looks dead. This particular grain of stalk does not begin to grow and produce life until it begins to turn brown at the tips and starts to die. Once it dies, and you shock this corn, once it dies, and you shock it, there was one piece of corn that is put into the ground that brings life. Once it produces the fruit, it brings hundreds of lives from one seed. It brings hundreds of life from one seed. Once you plant that one seed and that corn begins to come up and you shuck it, there's hundreds of seeds to replace the one life that had to sacrifice to produce all this. God sacrificed his son Jesus, one life, to produce millions of souls for all eternity. For all eternity. It takes life dying before it produces fruit that will last for all eternity. It takes that. And when it does, you will have plenty of fruit to put in the ground. With Samantha's life weighing in the balances at the hospital, I honestly believe God intended for that 4 days to be a reason. Life after life came through the door to see Samantha. Life after life came through the door. Not that you can ever be prepared for this as a family or as parents, but God was preparing for what was taking place. That because of one person's life, hundreds were impacted. And that's the same thing that God gave us, Jesus. Because of his life, millions were impacted. Millions were impacted. But it takes the corn. A green stalk doesn't produce in this particular corn. That corn begins to have to turn brown. And that stalk has to turn brown before new life begins. And when it totally dies out, you can produce a harvest based on that life. Not only that, but when you see there, number two, we must be prepared to give our seed away. We must be prepared to give our seed away. And when I saw the family, I think about Samantha. God was preparing them to be able to release Samantha and give her away for the glory and honor to God. God was blessing them to be able to do that. And as I was in the parking lot with CJ, as I said, at 1:30 in the morning, he said, "You know, I hope that this impacts hundreds of kids and that God will give me a ministry that I can preach and teach to children that will have an impact on them for all eternity for the honor and the glory of the Lord." Did you not share that with me, CJ, in the parking lot? That God will be touched and honored with that. We must be prepared to give away a seed. Do we not know how one grain can multiply into many? Do we not know how one grain of corn that is placed in the ground can multiply into hundreds? Multiply into hundreds. Folks, your life and my life as examples of Christ, as examples of a Christian, we should be willing to let our lives be used to produce hundreds and hundreds of seeds for His honor and glory. But because it produces as saints, if we refuse to bury the seed and hold it back, it will never produce life and we will never reap a harvest. If we refuse to hold the seed and never plant it, and that seed never dies, it'll never produce fruit and we'll never reap a harvest. We'll never reap a harvest. We have to give it to the Lord to produce that. Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 6 says this: "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight." What's that saying? Share it. Be willing to give your seed away. As the family did at the hospital, they were willing to share Samantha in their darkest time of their life. They shared their daughter, hoping that it would have an impact on somebody else's life, hoping that their lives would be changed. It said, "Cast the bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it in many days. Give a portion to seven or also eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what it weigheth the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her with that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." This tells us to give our bread, and it will return unto ones with a generous, hospitable portion of your bread, and several or many will come. For no one knows when he will need bread, but be prepared to give it away. If one does not sow seed in proper time, he cannot tell whether it will prosper or not. The only way to prosper is to mortify your deeds. Be, as Paul said, "I die, crucify myself to Christ. I die daily that Christ may live." We must, in Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsake them shall have mercy." He tells us in Colossians 3:5-10, he says this: "Mortify therefore your members which upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. If in any the which you also walked some time when you lived in them, but now ye have put off the anger, all these, anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communication out of thy mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, and is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that is created in him." He's saying, give it away. Put on a new man. Let God take control. Steve preached the message to the youth Wednesday night, and that's what exactly it says. Let no filthy communication come out of our mouth. Live a life of holiness. Live a life of purity. Your life has impact on people's lives. Live a godly life before them. Let your life be an impact on others, that you can see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. That in a worse situation or terrible tragedy comes in your life, that you can be like Samantha's family. Let everybody that wants to come, come, so that her life can have an impact on others' life, that maybe they'll be changed for all eternity based on the situation that they've seen. That what the devil meant for evil, that God will mean for good. It's just one person's life is impacted by that. And my friend, as a child of God, we need to live those lives. We need to put away all that stuff. We need to put away all of it. Crucify it. Put it to death in our life so that we can be the seed that God desires us to be. So when we grow up, we can produce fruit. We can produce a harvest which produces 1,000 more seeds for His honor and glory. Because the only thing that matters in this life is what we do for the Lord is what matters in this life. There's an old saying about the dash. How do you live your dash? You have a birth date and you have a date of death. My friend, if God tarries His coming, we will all face that one day. But there's a dash in the middle that separates that birth date and the date of death. How do you live your dash? Your dash is the most important thing in this life, because your dash is your testimony. Your dash is your witness. Your dash is your character. And what can people say about your life? Where does it lead people to? Is it leading them to a saving knowledge of Jesus, or is it leading them away? We have life. Our life impacts. Not only that, but number three, getting into a position for reaping your crop. Make a vow to God and pay it not. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 through 5 says this. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is thou shouldest not vow than shouldest vow and not pay. A vow to God must not be broken. If all these things produced by the earth were distributed to all men, there would be plenty for all, my friends. If it were not be until Christ comes, that true unselfish economy will be established then. He says, moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The profit of the earth is for all. Ecclesiastes 5:9 says this. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. The profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. There's a harvest to be reaped, and the king feeds himself by reaping the harvest from the field. It's not the government. The government has no business telling you and I what to do. It has no business messing with the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Third Amendment, or whatever. And my friend, it's time that you and I, as Christian men and women, get to the voting poll and do our job and clean out the White House. They don't own the cattle. I'm tired of them. I'm tired of them telling the farmers, you can grow this corn, but as soon as it gets up 4 feet tall, kill it. Spray it. Let it die down. Mike said there's several times thousands of acres of corn that he's planted. The government has come back and said, spray it and kill it. You can't harvest it. What in the world? We got millions of people starving. And the government is saying, kill the corn. Kill the agriculture. We worried about a fish instead of worried about food that we can eat. Oh, we need to do our part, my friends, to help produce life. God gave us that life. He gave us this world. He gave us the economy. He gave it to us according to Ecclesiastes 5:9. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for who? The profit of the earth is for all. And the king himself is served by the field. Oh, listen to me. We need to do our part. We need to do our part. Job 22, 27, 28 says this. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. The kings of the earth belong to the children of God, and it's ours for the taking. It's time that we get busy and do what God wants us to do. Jameson, you guys can come back. I want to finish with this verses of scripture back where we started from in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Back where we started at. And I'm going to read you something else right here. Back where we started at, it said this. It said, awake to the righteousness and sin not. It's time we awake to what God has in store for us and His plan. It says, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It said, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? I'm fixing to show you this, and I want you to realize that, because this is shouting hallelujah, glory, time, ground around here. Amen. It said, for the dead, how is the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body, and it has pleased Him. And to every seed his own body. And the flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, and another flesh of the beast, and another of the fishes, and another of the birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial one is the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory, sun, and another glory in the moon, and another glory in the stars, and one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection from the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it'll be raised in power. It's sown in a natural body, it'll be raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last Adam, which is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit was not the first which was spiritual, but is natural, and after which is spiritual. The first man was earth, of the earthly, and the second man was the Lord from heaven. As the earthly is, such are they that are earthly, and the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And we, which have been born of the image of the earthly, shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and bone cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do a corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's thy victory? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? Oh, listen to me. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, listen to me. There's coming a day. There's going to be a shout. Jennifer, I don't know if you and I will be allowed to hear it. But my friend, listen to me. Based on God's word, there's coming a day that there's going to be a shout. There's going to be a voice of an archangel. There's going to be the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. There's not much comfort in death, but there's comfort in God's word, knowing that we have the promises of God, knowing that if we trust in them, it doesn't matter about loved ones. Some of you have loved ones passed in here. If they've died in the Lord, there's going to be a rejoicing day coming where we're all going to hear the trumpet sound, and we're going to come up out of that ground. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Woo! It didn't hold Jesus down, and it ain't going to hold you and me down. Ain't gonna hold us down. Oh, give it to the Lord. Turn it over to Him. Give it to the Lord. Oh, Miss Cherry, come up. Danny and Sharon, come up. Miss Shirley in here. Miss Shirley, make it a day. Oh, listen to me. Y'all come over here. This is Danny and Sharon. This is my wife's half sister. So this is my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. And Miss Cherry. Miss Shirley, I don't see her in here. These people's lives have been impacted by the life of Samantha. These people's lives have been impacted by Miss D. Frail. These people's lives have been impacted by what is going on in our country. what is going on in our world today. Their lives have been impacted. And they came to me last week and a couple weeks prior to that and said, we want to rededicate our life as an adult, and we want to be rebaptized of that affirmation of our faith to let people know that we've changed in our life. Let people know we've changed in our life. You were worried about a seed and worried about the impact of life. Here's an impact of life that says, I want to change my life. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. And as an adult, I want to be baptized to let everybody know that I mean business with Jesus. They come today. Maybe that's you here. Maybe God has impacted your life. Maybe you want to be like they are. Maybe you want to rededicate your life as an adult. As a teenager, I don't know. Maybe that life has impacted yours and you want to rededicate them. And because of how their life is impacted, they want to follow through with baptism and let everybody know we sold out for Jesus. Maybe that's you, and you've been waiting for an opportunity like this. You come forward, because we're going to set up a baptism day for the Holy Ghost. Amen. And baptize. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Won't you come today? Won't you let Jesus be Lord of your life? Won't you let Him take that dead seed that's in your life and bring forth life out of the heart that produces hundreds more seeds? Won't you come today? Maybe you're looking for a church home. I would love to be your pastor. This church would love to be your home. Maybe you need to come and pray at the altar that God's impacted you and had an impact on your life. And I pray that you'll be changed forever and you'll be obedient to come today. You'll be obedient to follow through with day. Oh, will you stand with me? And will you bow your heads and pray with me? You stand. Let's do business with the Lord today, and let's ask God to change us in who we are today. Our Father and our God, I thank You for this message You laid upon our heart, the Lord. I thank You for the seed of life. I thank You that how our lives can be impacted by one another's lives, but more than that, impacted by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I thank You for these adults that have come to me this week and said, I want to rededicate my life. I want to get sold out for Jesus, and I want to be baptized in that affirmation. Lord, I pray if You're dealing with hearts in here today that's like that, that, Lord, they'll let loose and come forward. Lord, I pray that if there's folks in here that need to be saved today, Lord, don't let them listen to the devil no more. Break the strongholds of them, Lord. Loose them and let them come forward. Father, if there's folks that need to join the church and been here for a while, convict on the Lord and let them come forward today and unite with the body of Christ here. Father, may Your word go forward. May it pierce where it needs to pierce today. Change who we are. May Your altars be filled for Your honor and glory. Father, we give this service to You and this invitation to You. Move in a mighty way. We give it all to You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.